Thank you to Scott, and thank you to all of you for your welcome. Once again, it's great to be here. And the series that you're doing, thinking about discipleship, thinking about multiplying disciples, something I'm very happy to fit in with, is very close to my heart. And so we're going to spend a few moments looking at these crucial verses at the end of Matthew 28. And just a little bit by way of introduction, thinking about our context in our world today. And first of all, the global context. A little while ago, I was privileged to visit Accra. I did a few bits of Christian work. I did some preaching and so on. And in Accra, the capital of Ghana, there are some amazing signs of God's presence and power. The churches are packed and rocking, and you see it out on the streets as well. You see it in the cars and in the businesses. And in particular, you see it on the signs that you will see. A couple of pictures are going to come up. I don't know how well you can see those. The first one says, Anointed Plumber. And the second one, The God is Great Cold Store. And as you go around the streets in Accra, you will see signs like this. Here are some of the ones that I picked up. The Great is the Lord Clothing Store. The Jesus is King Grocery Store. Let There Be Light Electricals. That's a nice creative one here. God's time is the best auto engineering. You know, I'm slightly concerned about that one. If I took my car there, when am I going to get it back? Well, God's time is the best, sir. You know, it's a slight concern. This is the place that I think I would prefer. This is my favorite. The Praise the Name of Jesus Tire, Brake and Clutch Company. I would like to take my car there. You get a sense of the vibrancy, of the life, of the colour, of the way that Christianity is there in the churches, but it's in the streets, it's in the businesses, it's in the homes, it's on the backs of taxis. People are not afraid to say, Jesus is my Lord. The Ghanaian pastors that I know will always say, don't idolize us. We have problems. We have issues. There are things that we are struggling with. And yet it would be churlish not to recognize that something really powerful and wonderful is happening. And you see that all over the world. You see it in Korea. You see it in Latin America. You see it in the Caribbean. All over. God is at work. God is on the move. And I always like to say that, I always like to remind myself of that, because we see that the power of God is there and that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the church is being built and that God's kingdom is growing. But there is a more immediate context as well, and it's one that I guess we're very much aware of. I think here in Yorkshire, it's 0.85% of the population who go to church, who would identify as committed Christians. Where I am in South London, it's significantly more. It's about 10%. So we're in a little bit of a bubble. And yet even that, when you think about it historically, is very low for the United Kingdom. And it's not just that people don't identify as Christians, that people don't have a real strong Christian commitment. It's also that many, many in wider society are a long way away from Christian faith in terms of a worldview, in terms of an understanding, in terms of having the hooks upon which to hang the gospel when it's heard. People are a long way away from where they might have been 20, 30, 40 years ago. I had a look a while ago at some of the preaching of Billy Graham in the 1950s. It was a very significant time in the UK. He came over from the States. He had some big rallies in London. It was front page news and very, very significant. Many people came to faith. But looking at his preaching, I was really struck by a number of things, and particularly the assumptions that he was able to make about people's understanding. And at one point in a message, he said to this audience, where he would have assumed many, many non-Christians, "Of course you all know the story of the prodigal son." And probably he was right. Probably the vast majority of people did know the story, did understand the story. They weren't believers, but they may have heard the story in Sunday school. They may have been taught the story in another way. And so they would have known it. And yet, if we preach evangelistically today, that would not be a sensible comment to lob in. Because the vast, vast majority of people aren't going to know the story, aren't going to understand the Christian worldview. Certainly white, indigenous, British people, the chances are that they won't understand. And so there are many challenges for us as a church today, as we seek to reach out, as we seek to share the gospel, as we seek to share God's love with those that we meet, bringing people through to faith and discipleship. It's not a time to be downbeat. I think it's an exciting time to be a Christian, and it's an exciting time to be involved in church. I think the future is alive with possibilities, and I think for you as a church, the potential is absolutely vast. But we need to recognize the scale of the task that we're facing. It's a challenge. It's not easy. And we realize, if we've been around Christian things for a while, that these verses from Matthew 28 are crucial, and they really address the situation for us. And I pray that they come to us freshly this morning, if you've heard them many times before, and that they impact deeply on our hearts. I think they're so exciting. And really, I've just got four things to say in short order from these verses. And the first thing is that they give us great confidence in our task. So important when the context is difficult, when it can be hard graft, when it can be hard going. We can have great confidence as we look at these verses. And there's all sorts of stuff here that can really, really help us. And the first thing is right there at the beginning of the verses, and it's so often missed. Because Jesus is there, he's there in his resurrection body, his risen power, he's risen from the dead, and it's wonderful, and yet the disciples are there, and some of them still doubt. And it's sort of amazing, because you think, well, Jesus is there, he's risen, they can see him, they can touch him, they can hear him, there's an audible voice, Jesus is speaking, and yet some of them are still doubting, some of them are still uncertain. But actually, that's a good thing for us, because we doubt and struggle, we are sometimes uncertain, we are sometimes concerned about the enormity of the task as we seek to reach out. And Jesus comes to us as people who doubt, people who struggle. And he doesn't say, well, I can't use you because you doubt. I can't use you because you're afraid. He says, I come to you and I commission you. And so if you're doubting, if you're afraid, if you're struggling, Jesus comes to you freshly this morning by the Holy Spirit and says, I want to use you. My commission, my great commission comes to you. And there's lots more encouragement too. There is the authority of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. There is not a split second, not a square inch, where Jesus is not rightfully Lord. He is Lord of all. And this great and mighty Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, says, all authority is given to me, and now I am sending you. We go on the authority of Jesus, this great and mighty King. And he says that he's going to be with us. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. There is that promise of power, the presence of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, and the fact that he uses feeble and frail and faltering people. And for me, that just gives me great confidence. Got a picture on the screen of some wedding rings, which may seem a little bit unusual, but I thought I'd put it up because on Wednesday, the 21st of September, we celebrated 25 years of marriage, and we had a special meal together. Next Sunday, we're going to be standing in our home church in Streatham, and on a Sunday morning, and just as part of the service, Anne and I will renew our vows together. Strangely, our two children have found excuses not to be present for this particular service. I don't know why, but my marriage is just an amazing thing, and I can remember when we were going out together at the beginning, I wasn't very well. I had glandular fever that hadn't been diagnosed, and I wasn't particularly lively. I wasn't great fun to be around. I was concerned she's going to say, well, this isn't great, and I'm off. But she didn't say that. And I just remember just growing in confidence, and the marriage itself saying, I do. You just feel 10 feet tall. You feel so confident. There is that security in the relationship. And I sort of feel the same way looking at these verses. I felt it when I preached last Sunday. I preached an induction of one of our students, Armand Jehoia, a Kosovan, who's going to be ministering in London. And I took these verses because they seemed very appropriate. Also, I wanted to give the message a trial run, if I'm honest. And it was a good opportunity to do so. And just in the act of preaching, I was thinking, wow, yeah, this is really, really good. I think we get these verses wrong sometimes. Occasionally, you hear preaching on them, and it's a bit of a beat-up. You know, people get bashed over the head. Not enough evangelism, not enough witness, not enough going out. The Great Commission applies. Why aren't you doing it? You should be doing it. And people feel a bit cowed. And actually, it doesn't work, because we know it's important. We just need that help and encouragement and enabling to put these words into practice. And I think that shot through this, there is real encouragement. Jesus' words are bracing. They're very challenging. There's no two ways about that. But again and again, he encourages us. You doubt, it's not a problem. I can still use you. You're weary, I can pick you up. You're not sure you can do this? Well, you go with my authority. You're feeling afraid, you're feeling alone in your place of work, in your school, wherever it will be. Well, I will be with you always. And the end of the age is coming. You know, you're on the victory side. Jesus is going to return. He will make all things new. We're called to engage in evangelism, which is sometimes a battle. It's spiritual warfare. And yet the victory is assured because Jesus is risen from the dead and he's coming back. We're called to be part of a wonderful army of love and peace, and the victory is already ours. And so huge encouragement. And so as a church, in different missional communities, in your own mission, you can be confident because of what Jesus says and does. He is with us and he sends us out again. That's the first thing, the call to be confident. The second thing is the call to be disciples and to make disciples. Disciple is very simply a follower of Jesus Christ, and someone who would have been an active learner. They would have sat and they would have heard the teaching of the rabbi, Jesus, but they also would have followed him around. And there was a saying in the first century, be dusty with the dust of your rabbi. And it's that sense of following closely. You can imagine the rabbi walking along, it's dusty ground, and on the sandals the dust is kicked up, and you are following so closely that the dust that comes up off his shoes comes onto you. And so the call to be disciples, ourselves, to be followers of Jesus, whole life disciples, 360 degree disciples. Baptism is mentioned here, and it's a wonderful image of discipleship when it is full immersion, being immersed, being plunged into Christ. Every bit of us is covered by the water. I knew someone a while ago, a regional minister, who talked about baptism and said, when I baptize people, they go down into the water. And just to emphasize that it's full immersion, I like to hold them there for a couple of seconds before I bring them up. I would like to reassure you that that's not my practice, and it is not what we teach our students at Spurgeon's College. The little postscript to this story was that I was talking to this guy afterwards, and he said, you know, it's very strange. I don't get asked to do many baptisms. And I don't think that's very strange at all. I can explain it to you. But there is that thing of being fully immersed, of being fully under, and just being in Christ. Baptism is so rich, and the imagery speaks of so many things, of forgiveness, of cleansing, of new life. But this sense of being plunged into Christ, up to the hilt, full-on discipleship. And as you listen to this, and as you reflect, maybe that God is putting his finger on something in your life, something that he wants you to change, a habit that he wants you to put off, something that he wants you to put on. I just want to encourage you, just as you sit, to make your vow before the Lord, I'm going to press on into deeper discipleship for him. But also making disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. And it's that disciple-making work that is key in these verses. And so we need to pay attention to it. Something that's part of the DNA of this church. I know that the missionary communities, the fact that you've wanted to be flexible, to be different, to be creative. You've never been afraid to try new things. And that's so exciting. And we need to try new things as we seek to make disciples. One of the things that I teach currently at Spurgeon's is our practical ministry unit. It's called Professional Ministry and Practice. And it runs through all sorts of stuff, from how to do a baptism, how to do a funeral, to issues of context and applying the gospel in today's world. And what the students do, rather than writing an assignment, they put together a portfolio of practical experience and they show the work that they've been doing, and that is how the actual unit is examined. And marking these portfolios, sometimes it's a bit of a chore. Some of them are huge. You get these folders that are bursting open and all the papers are falling out, and it's very annoying. But when you actually get to read the stuff, when you pull it together, there is so much exciting and creative work that is going on. And just impressing on me again and again a couple of things. One of the things is that classic expressions of church can still work. So a context like this one, where people are coming, people are worshipping, people are responding, it's so great in that sense of being equipped and being envisioned and being excited and being sent out. And people hearing the gospel in a context like this and coming to Christ and being baptized and being built up. It still works. It still happens. It can still be hugely exciting and wonderful. But also, and alongside that, some of the amazing creative things that are going on. And it's not rocket science. It's sort of picking up people's interests and thinking about where people are at and are meeting them there. I'll just give you one example, which is a running missional community, which one of our students has developed. It works in a New Frontiers church in one of the Medway towns. And what they do once a month is that they all get together and they run. Occasionally they have something called Run Away from Church. Some of us have wanted to do that at different times, but that isn't to do with that. It's actually meeting outside the church and then going off on a run. And they go somewhere where there's a cafe where they don't mind sweaty people, and they sit down and they have a cup of tea and they pray and they discuss the Bible. They have other times where they do training. They enter some of the big running events that you can have at the weekends. And it's drawn in a whole lot of people, often men, who perhaps like running or would like the idea of something sporty, and they're thinking about this not necessarily as a staging post to something else, although it could be, but actually as a missional community in its own right, where disciple making happens, where prayer happens, where people can invite their friends, thinking about how it can develop, thinking about how it can grow, thinking about how worship could be integrated into that. And so exciting. I think the model that you've got here is absolutely great. God bless you for trying something different. But I think in this new chapter, in this new phase of your life, it could be even more exciting, even more flexible and fluid and effective in reaching out. And so the call is, a renewed call for you today, I think, is to have that commitment to make disciples. Make this one probably the final main point, and it's point three, and it's making disciples of all nations. In the Greek, it's panta ta ethne, and that word ethne is the one from which we get our word ethnic or ethnicity, and the emphasis in the text is going out to every people group, every ethnicity, and reaching people with the gospel. One of my big commitments is multicultural church and seeing people come together. The church that I'm privileged to be a part of in Streatham, we now have 74 different nationalities. We have a pastoral team that now reflects the diversity of the church, and it's so exciting. It's confusing sometimes. It's very, very frustrating. And yet it's absolutely wonderful. And it's a foretaste of heaven when people will come together and will worship together. And I want to encourage you as you go on this path, here in Headingley and in other different missional communities as well. Because I think it's something that God is really calling you into. And for someone like myself, it's so great, and it's just an opportunity to reach out to different people and to serve. But one of the really exciting things is that reverse mission is happening. People are coming to the UK and are reaching out to those of us who've been here for many years. New churches are springing up, particularly where I am in London. But I do want to encourage this multicultural mix. David Shasanya, who is a minister in London, works across a range of Baptist churches, talks about the different churches that are growing up in London, black-led, black-majority churches, other minority ethnic churches. So exciting. I've spoken in a number of those churches. I know a number of the leaders, and there's some fantastic work going on. But David, speaking as someone from Nigerian background, reflecting on the situation, saying, you know, sometimes it's a bit like a boiler. Churches are on fire for God, but it's not quite plumbed into the heating system. And in terms of touching British culture, it's not really heating it up. And what I want to encourage, what is on my heart, is for people to come together and for us to reach out in mission to contemporary Britain. We need one another. We need to be together in order to reach a diverse society. And so I think that's a real challenge and a real opportunity for you as a church. Multicultural leads, so much potential. And I want to encourage you along that line of multicultural church. I said three main points. I did have four, and I'll just ask for the last picture to come up on the slide, because I think this is the place for us to finish. Again, that wonderful promise of Jesus. I am with you always, to the very end of the age. It is sometimes a struggle. We do meet with disappointments. There are times when it is tough. And yet this promise of Jesus, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, undergirds us the whole time. And so he comes to us afresh this morning and says, how are you going to respond to this great commission? What is the response that you are going to make in your hearts? And he promises that if we say yes to God's agenda, he will be with us. So often this promise is torn out of its context and we just think Jesus is going to be with us whatever. But actually it's when we engage in mission that we will particularly know the presence and power of Jesus mediated by the Holy Spirit. Go, make disciples, reach out, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So the question is perhaps not even so much, do you want to engage in evangelism? Do you want to reach out? Do you want to be increasingly missional? But the question is, do you want to know the presence of God? Do you want to know more of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you want to know that God is with you? If that's something that we want, if that's something that we desire, that joy, that life, that vibrancy, flowing with the Holy Spirit, knowing the presence of God, then according to this text, we know that as we hear God's word and as we put it into practice in mission. Do we want to know the presence of God? Do we want to know his power? Do we want to know his love and his life coursing through us? If so, engage in God's mission, in God's way, and he will bless us more and more as we go on following Jesus. Missional disciples, whole life, 360 degrees, and God will be with us. Just want to encourage us to pause for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer, and then I'll ask Scott just to come back. Let's just be quiet before God and just think about a response that God might be calling us to make. Maybe that something has struck you especially about the nature of the church, about your own call, about your own life. Perhaps you're weary, perhaps you're doubting, perhaps you need that encouragement and just the renewing and refreshing that comes by the Holy Spirit so that you can be renewed for mission. If you need to receive from God, it may be that you just want to open your hands before him as a sign that you're ready. And as God has spoken, hold your word in his heart. Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Saviour. Thank you that he died and rose again from the dead. Thank you that you're present now by the Holy Spirit. Thank you that Jesus is coming again one day. Lord, this is the gospel we have believed. This is our faith. And we pray that secure in your love and hearing afresh your commission, you would send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, reaching out to this day and generation, believing that you have called us here for such a time as this, excited and just nerved again to go again for the gospel and for Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for one another. And we thank you for the Great Commission and for your wonderful presence. In Jesus' name, amen.